So the purpose, I think, and I love the Bible, I love God's Word, and it's so important to me that we get the whole picture, that we get all of it. And sometimes when we misuse and misunderstand or misinterpret scriptures, we take things out of context. We just use part of it. We don't get the whole thing. So we've got a few things that Pastor Steve shared this last week, but I'm going to share it again today. And that's just six guidelines that we can use as we as a church family read the Bible to help us use scripture properly. The first one is to ask God to show you what's true, to pray. Before you even come to read the Bible, spend time in prayer. So there's the Bible, the Word of God, and then there's the Holy Spirit who lives inside those of us who know Jesus. And He helps us to understand the scriptures. So the Spirit and the Word go hand in hand. So pray, ask the Holy Spirit for enlightenment before you get there. The second one is read the Bible. It's so easy to grab quotes and memes off of Facebook. You can find stuff, but it's usually just bits and pieces. It's so crucial to read the Bible, read the whole Bible for yourself. So that's number two. Number three, read the context of a particular verse. One of the things that happens when we misunderstand things is we take it out of the context that it was originally written, okay? A lot of these New Testament books were letters, like the one we're going to read today. Paul was writing a letter to the Philippians, and he was basically saying, hey, here's some stuff I want to share with you guys. You got to get the context of what Paul was saying, so make sure you read everything together. Number four, and this one's important, don't pretend to understand. There are Bible verses that every single one of us in this room don't have a full grasp on right now, okay? Every one of us. There's no person here that goes, yep, got them all, know them all. So don't pretend to understand. I think we've all been in groups before where, you know, somebody says something really complex and awesome and this cool insight to scripture, and then you're like, you know what I mean, right? And we're all like, oh yeah, yeah, got that one. So don't pretend to understand. Ask questions. It's okay to ask. It's really important to be in a life group or in a small group and have relationships where you can ask and dialogue and grow in your knowledge of the Bible. So don't pretend to understand. Nobody has full understanding. Number five, use the Bible to determine our beliefs, not support them. This is really important. I'm guessing we've all maybe been guilty of this one too, where you have an idea, you want to do something, and you go grab your Bible and you go, okay, there's got to be a Bible verse that supports what I want to do. And we go find one and we go, oh, I think that one works. So don't come to the Bible and say, I'm going to find something to support what I already believe. Instead, we come under the authority of the scripture and we use it to determine our beliefs, not the other way around. The sixth one is read for meaning before application. That goes back to the context and when the Bible was initially written. We have to understand what was going on in that day. There are also different types of books in the Bible. The Psalms, they're poetry. Proverbs, they're wisdom sayings. The New Testament, the Gospels were written primarily to help people come to faith in Jesus. The letters were written with certain instructions. So read in the context of what they were saying in that day, and then we can apply it instead of thinking just in 21st century terms. So those are just six ideas that hopefully will help us read a little more clearly and understand. So I mentioned earlier that Philippians, it's a beautiful little book. It's really encouraging. But it's written by the Apostle Paul late in his life. And we use the word epistle. Epistle just means letter. So this whole thing was written as a letter to people. In the initial version, there were no chapters, there were no verses. We added those later. Paul sat down, and he didn't type it, actually. He wrote a letter to the Philippians. And he loved these people. He cared about them. He had become a spiritual father to them. That's the context of what he's writing them, to encourage them, to spur them on. That's where these verses come from. So let's go ahead, before I keep talking here, let's get to the scripture. So if you've got a Bible, you can open to Philippians 4. If not, we'll have it on the screen. Or if you have a phone where you can look up those things, you can use your phone. My phone doesn't do that, so. So Philippians 4, verse 10. How I praise the Lord that you are concerned about me again. I know you have always been concerned for me, but you didn't have the chance to help me. Not that I was ever in need, for I have learned how to be content with whatever I have. I know how to live on almost nothing, or with everything. I have learned the secret of living in every situation, whether it is with a full stomach or empty, with plenty or little. For I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. Even so, you have done well to share with me in my present difficulty. As you know, you Philippians were the only ones who first gave me financial help when I first brought you the good news and then traveled on from Macedonia. No other church did this. Even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me help more than once. I don't say this because I want a gift from you. Rather, I want to receive a reward for your kindness. I want you to receive a reward for your kindness. At the moment, I have all I need and more. I am generously supplied with the gifts you sent me with Epaphroditus. They are a sweet-smelling sacrifice that is acceptable and pleasing to God. And this same God who takes care of me will supply all your needs from his glorious riches, which have been given to us in Christ Jesus. So this is the end of Paul's letter to the Philippians. And you'll notice I wanted to, going back to some of our guidelines, to read the context to get what Paul's talking about. But that verse of verse 13 is in there. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Just as a curiosity question, who has heard that verse before? Okay, so quite a few. I have two. I want to ask you a question. Is Philippians 4:13, is it a magic formula? I didn't really hear any clear answers. I'm going to say no, it's not a magic formula. You can't just say that and then things magically fall into place. It's not an open sesame type phrase. But I'm going to submit this morning that it's better than that. The promise that's in this word, that's in this passage here, is better than that. It's better than me just being able to say, I want that. God, give me that. It's better than that. So let's go back to the context. My first point is this, is that Philippians 4:13 and this whole chapter, this whole book, was written out of difficult times. Paul was actually in prison. This is called one of the prison epistles or letters. He wrote this while he was in chains. And he writes these encouraging things to these people to lift them up and build them up. I mean, they should have been encouraging him while he was in prison. But he was encouraging them. If we go back to what Paul's initially talking about, so go back to verse 10. He talks about them giving a gift. He's talking about money and finances and supplies. And then we go back to verse 11. He said, "Not that I was ever in need, for I have learned to be content with whatever I have." How many of you struggle with that in America? How many of us think that, thanks Philip, I appreciate the hand raised over there. How many of you struggle with that, to be content with what you have? How difficult is it not to look and say, gosh, if I only had that, if I just had what that person has? That's a real struggle for us, and I think it's a real struggle with material things. When I think about finances and how much we have saved for our retirement and how much we have paid off on our house, it's a struggle sometimes to be content. And Paul says, and he goes on in verse 12 to say, I've learned the secret that if I am content and I'm not overly concerned with getting more stuff and I'm not overly concerned with, well, I need this or I have to have this, whether I've got my pockets full of money or whether I have nothing in my pockets, I can be content. I can be happy about who I am in God because I know he's going to take care of those things. So this was written out of prison, out of living through difficult times. That's the context of this. I want you to remember, too, that Paul was a missionary. Paul spent most of his life traveling to places who had never heard about Jesus. I mean, he literally traveled in the ancient world. He went on, you know, thousands of miles on these journeys, and he went to places that, I mean, it's just amazing to think about, you know, by ship, probably walking a lot of it, riding on strange animals. Paul, yes, he worked some. He says he was a tent maker. But Paul needed people to give him money. There's times where he didn't necessarily have what he needed to make it happen or to do the ministry. And there were churches that actually gave to help each other. The church in Thessalonica, for example, would give to help the church in Philippi, or they would to help the church back in Judea. So Paul was a missionary. He needed this help at times. But he actually says, I can be content anyway. I think, and this is one thing that really hit me as I prepared for this. When I thought about contentment in what we have physically, I think Paul is really describing what Jesus talked about in Matthew 6 in the Sermon on the Mount. Remember that when Jesus says, don't worry. Don't worry about what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink. I want to read a little bit of that because I think that Paul is really, he's just doing a great job of living this out and then describing it. So in Matthew 6, in verse 25, Jesus says this. He says, that is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life, whether you have enough food and drink or enough clothes to wear. Isn't life more than food and your body more than clothing? Look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them. And aren't you far more valuable to him than they are? Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? In verse 31, so don't worry about these things, saying, what will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear? These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers, but your heavenly Father already knows all your needs. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. So I think Paul's just describing what Jesus taught them in the Sermon on the Mount. I'm not going to spend my time worrying about those things. I can be content and happy. And because of that, I can do everything that God puts in front of me. And that meant sometimes Paul, when he described his life in some of his letters, he said, there was times where I was whipped 39 times. And it was thought that 40 lashes would kill someone in the ancient world. And Paul was like, they whipped me so badly, they hit me 39 times and left one out so I would live through it. Paul said, I can do all those things. I can get through any of that stuff. I was shipwrecked. I mean, there was a time in Acts 27 where Paul was basically hanging on to, wood to try and survive. There's so many of those examples through Paul's life to say, I'm not worried or concerned about things. I can do all those things through Jesus who gives me strength. So a question as we get deeper into this, can you use Philippians 4:13 to accomplish your goals? I would say yes, but I don't know if you can use it to get whatever you want. The test, I think, is when you think about it, and you're thinking about Philippians 4:13, and I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Are these things that I'm trying to move through or get through, or are they things that I'm trying to get for myself? You can ask yourself that question. That kind of leads into my second point, is that Philippians 4:13, it doesn't mean we can get whatever we want. That hurts a little bit, but it doesn't mean that. I remember when I was a kid, I grew up in a sports crazy family, and I was like 7 or 8 years old, and we were at a basketball game. It was a playoff game, and our high school was playing this other high school, and I wanted our team to win so badly. And at the end, we won by like 2 points or something. And I told somebody next to me, I'm like, I think we won because I prayed. That sounds silly. But how many of those things do we get caught up in where we're praying for God to have an outcome to happen that maybe that isn't what Philippians 4:13 initially meant? I think of some of the theology and our way of thinking that creeps into the church. And, there's some ways of thinking of Philippians 4:13 where I think this gets drug out of context. And it becomes, you can do all things to get what you want in life. You can do all things because you want to, and because you want this or you want that. That isn't what Paul's talking about initially. He's talking about, I can be content, and I can make it through, and I can endure all situations. He's not saying, I want that new Ferrari, and therefore I can go get it. That's not what this verse means. Or, I want the biggest house on the street. I don't want to get too specific, because some people may be called to make a lot of money in this life and give it back to the Lord and give it to missions, and that may be your calling, so I don't want to get too specific, but this isn't meant to just get what you want. As I was thinking about this, I was, you know, this, my wife and I were talking, and we were talking about sports, and she was talking about when she used this verse when she was a kid, and she was shooting baskets. Okay. Now, in our family, I'm the basketball player, okay? Look at me. Look at how tall I am. My wife's about 5'2", and I'm like 6'5". But she would use this this verse. Actually, though, she's the runner, though. I have to admit, I've taken up running because my wife likes to run, and she's a lot faster than I am. So I'm like the husband that looks taller that you're like, oh, shouldn't he be beating her? And I'm like trailing behind her. But the tables have turned because she's pregnant, and now I can beat her. So we went running the other day, and I left her in the dust a little bit. So, but yeah, okay, maybe I need to repent for that later. But yeah, I can beat her now because she's 28 weeks pregnant. So anyway, she was talking about when she was a kid, and she was shooting baskets, and she would pray this verse. You know, she'd like try and get the ball up at the hoop, and she would pray, you know, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. And then she missed the shot. And she went, what's wrong with this? God, doesn't this verse work? How many of those things in our lives do we try and apply this to where maybe God isn't leading us into that and he's not calling it to us? It's just something we want to do. Again, I don't want to go too far with that, but this verse is about enduring situations and God giving us strength. Christ gives me strength to get through any situation, whatever it is, no money, lots of money, no food, lots of food, you know, difficult circumstances, Christ strengthens me to get through all of it. That's a much better and much deeper promise than Santa Claus giving me what I want. That's much better, is that he can strengthen me and get me through that. There's a popular figure that I think many of you probably know. If you got the picture, you can put it up there. How many of you have seen this picture? Some of you probably have seen it. Look at the eye black. It's our verse today, Philippians 4:13. What's interesting is you may look at this picture and you may think Tim Tebow used that verse to win games and to win the Heisman Trophy and to win the national championship. And Tim Tebow prayed, I can go on the field and I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength and I can do whatever I want. But actually, Tim Tebow never said that. It's interesting how Tim Tebow used this. Now this verse gets, I think, used in sports a lot wrongly, which I've already talked about. But listen to what Tim Tebow said. Now Tim Tebow, I think he's the real deal, loves Jesus and is just has it out there. I mean, I love the guy. I love his passion and his genuineness, and I think it's real. But near the end of his college career, Tim Tebow told the Baptist Press, a lot of people know Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But a lot of people don't interpret that verse the right way. Most people think it means they can do anything on the football field or I can make a lot of money. But that's not exactly what it's talking about there. It's saying I can be content with anything. Isn't that interesting? You might take it the wrong way saying Tim Tebow in this situation, but he's saying I can be content in any situation. I love that. Again, can you use it to accomplish your goals? Yeah. Do I think Tim Tebow would have used that when he was in a difficult summer practice or he had an injury or he was trying to do something that God had called him to do? Absolutely. But it's not in, I can just get what I want out of this. So I want to get to my last point, because this is the one where I think this is, I've been challenged by this verse this week. Do I really think of it rightly, and do does it really drive me? So my last point is this, my third point I should say. Philippians 4:13 is a promise we need to endure anything that comes our way. I said that a specific way. that we need to endure anything that comes our way. Otherwise, we'll crumble and fall. Just like Paul talks about his situation, I can do all things, meaning I can survive a shipwreck. I can get through having no money. I can get through people throwing me out of the synagogue. I can get through all those things. In the same way, you and I can then take that into our lives and use that same principle. This is what we mean by the sixth one that I used of get the meaning first and then the application. We see the principle working in Paul's life, and then we know it can work in our lives, whatever that situation may be. I don't know. I mean, as I look across the room today, I don't know what's going on in each of your lives. But you do, and the Lord does. And you can take this promise with you, not just as, I want to get what I want. It's so much better than that. The real Jesus of the Bible is so much better, and his promises are so much richer. He gives us the things that we need, not just passing desires that we think that we want. When I see that impossible mountain in front of me that I don't think I can climb or I can't do it on my own, it's Christ who gives me strength. You might find it in the Bible. You might find it as you read. You might find encouragement there. You know, I'm sure many of you, when you have whatever time you read the Bible or whatever time works best for you, you may find verses that apply to your life and you go, yes, that's what's building me up and strengthening me. I know the Lord's speaking to me. It may happen in your prayer times. Sometimes I feel like God is always with me when I'm driving and in the car. I really enjoy that when God will put something in my mind and I'll think of it and he'll strengthen me as I'm in the car. We find that he gives us strength through others as well. And that one I think is critical. And just to be honest with you, if I'm going to lay it all on the line here, this is something that God has been doing in me and I'm trying to figure out and work on is how God works through our relationships. It is so important the way that God impacts us through those around us. So critical. And I know we talk a lot about life groups and how important it is to be a part of a life group and have relationships here where you're plugged in and growing together. But man, that makes such a difference when you have people around you who can remind you of the truth. And Christ strengthens you through those other people. It's amazing how that happens. That's not less than, okay? That's not less than you having your prayer time alone and, you know, God strengthens you that way by speaking to you directly. It's the same thing. It's God using other people in the body of Christ to strengthen you, to build you up by speaking the truth to you, and you see, hear your friend, or you hear someone else at this church, or you hear your brother, or you hear them say the truth to you, and you're strengthened by that, you're built up by it. I've recently been looking through the Paul's letters, because I've always viewed Paul as like this superhuman, never needs anybody else guy, right? Anybody ever think of Paul that way? Like Paul's like the greatest Christian ever. Nobody's ever done it like Paul. Nobody ever was tougher, you know. But the thing is, in a lot of Paul's letters, he actually talks about how the other churches encouraged him and built him up. He'll say, I was encouraged by your coming. I was encouraged by your faith. Paul, you know, the great Christian was encouraged by what other people said and did in his own life. Isn't that amazing? Now that's kind of mind-blowing for me because I've had this paradigm of Paul and who he is and what he's like. But we've all got to have that in our lives. We've all got to have people around us who not just their friends, yes, absolutely, relationships where we trust them, but people who will tell us the truth, who will build us up, who will encourage us. If Paul had that, I'll take it too. I think the other thing about just this series and this verse of Philippians 4:13 is that we grow together in our knowledge of the Bible. Pastor Steve brought this up last week, that Cedar Rapids has one of the lowest rates or ratios, whatever it is, of Bible knowledge. pretty low. We're like number 4 from the bottom on the list of, you know, how much people read their Bibles, how much they know about their Bibles. So we know that Cedar Rapids is fairly illiterate when it comes to the Bible. But we, as a church family, we're doing things like this message series to go, let's grow together in our knowledge of the Bible. This isn't just a, you know, you take this and you only grow on your own. This is us growing together. As we talk to each other, as we encourage each other with the deep truths of the Bible. And I want us to get a lens of not just, you know, pulling a Bible verse off the refrigerator. Okay, that's cool. That's good. Or just pulling a meme off of Facebook and that's our intake of scripture for the day. But really being fed by what God says as we read the Bible and what he says as we talk about the Bible with each other. Like, let's go for that together. Let's go deeper for that with that together. All right. So what are some examples? I wanted to end here with a little bit of some examples of where God strengthens us. What situations are we in? Paul talks in Philippians 4 about money, about being strengthened when I have nothing, when I have a lot. I'm sure some of us in this room have been through the scenario where we've lost the job. We walked into work one day, we had a job, we walked out that day without a job. And that can be devastating to lose a job. Devastating for, on so many levels. Emotionally, the fear that hits you. That is a situation where you can take the truth of I can be content in all things. That Christ strengthens me through all things. I just lost my job today, and I don't know how I'm going to put food on the table. I don't know how I'm going to pay that bill. But I know that I can be happy and content in Jesus because he strengthens me to get through it, to endure it. Through a job loss, through that situation where you're like, oof, I don't know what to do there. Maybe for some of us it's more just financial. The bills keep coming. We don't know how we're going to pay them. You know, I don't have kids, but sometimes kids need braces. You know, you may have bills that you don't know how you're going to pay them. And you can be content in those things because God always does end up providing. We do live in America too. But God always does provide, and he gets us through those things, and he gives us strength through relationships, through other people. The fear of not being able to pay all the bills. God gives us strength through that. What about relationship challenges? Anybody have any just difficult family relationships? No one's raising their hand. Okay. Everybody's like, you keep your hand down. But God strengthens us even when we have those situations. There I think we've all probably been through some of those, but where you've tried to build a relationship, you've tried to restore a relationship, and it's just not there. That's one of those situations where you can say, I can be content. Even though all my relationships aren't set in place the way I want them to be, I can be content. And not only that, but Jesus can strengthen me and will strengthen me through that. To endure it, to get through it, even though it's not where I want it to be. So Philippians, I mean, this is so rich, this passage about not just you can use this to do whatever you want to, but it's a promise to get through anything. And to not just get through it, but to be strengthened. Paul said in Romans that in all things we're more than conquerors. It doesn't necessarily mean like we look like the great victors. It means that God builds us up and we come out richer, having overcome those things. I'm going to leave you with a couple of next steps. The first one is just to take some time and, those are longer than I thought they were. Okay. If you're taking notes, we'll leave those up there extra long. I will take time to think about a situation that seems impossible, impossible to endure, and remind myself that Jesus gives me strength to get through it. Take some time. Maybe it's your car. Maybe you're like me. Maybe you got to drive to work, and you need to just turn the radio off for a little bit, for 15 minutes, and you need to think about that situation, and you need to remind yourself of the truth that no matter how difficult or impossible it looks, that God will strengthen you. He will build you up to get through that situation. Maybe you need to go for a walk. One of these days it might get nice enough to go for a walk. But maybe you need to go for a walk and just reflect on a situation that you're in that you don't know how to get around or get through, and connect with Jesus in prayer, and like a prayer walk or something. The second one is to connect with other people. Pick one person this week. Reach out to that one person and remind him or her of the truth that they can be content in any situation. Any situation they're in, they can be content. And they can be strengthened in that situation. So, one of those, if you want to just reflect on something in your own life. But I like the second option. Pick someone out this week. I mentioned earlier about, doing this together and going deeper together as a church family, as a community. Reach out to someone. I am not good at picking up the phone and calling people. I'm kind of shy. But, pick up the phone and call someone and say, hey, I just wanted to tell you. I don't know what the situation is in your life, but be reminded that Jesus will give you the strength to get through whatever you're going through at this point. We're going to have some prayer teams up here this morning. Maybe you have a situation in your life where you need someone to stand with you and pray with you this morning. So we're going to have prayer teams up here to my left. I would invite you to come forward. Maybe you need to hear someone else say it. You need to hear someone else pray it over your life, that you can be content and that Jesus will give you strength to get over whatever situation you're in. So if you need prayer for that, I want to invite you up here to the prayer teams. If you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus, and you've heard me talk about this promise that he can strengthen us to get through any situation, maybe you just want to find out more. You want to know more about who Jesus is. Why are all these people gathered here to raise their hand and worship Jesus together? I would invite you to come forward. You can come to a relationship with Jesus by turning from the past things that you've done. We've all made those mistakes. We've all sinned. And you can come to a relationship with Jesus today. You don't have to wait. You don't have to do a bunch of things to get into a relationship with him. We're all saved by the sacrifice that Jesus made on the cross. So if that's you, again, I invite you to come up to the prayer teams this morning and pray with them. If you would, let's stand together and let's pray to close. Father, I thank you for your word. I just thank you for the promise that we've been talking about this morning, God. I thank you that there is contentment available to each person here in whatever circumstance they're in, whatever mountain is in front of them, whatever difficulty they're facing, financial, career, family, whatever it is, God, I pray that you would just remind us of that. And I pray, Lord, for those, as we leave this place, God, for you to just bring this word up again throughout the week. Just remind us of this passage. Remind us of this scripture that you're with us, strengthening us, building us up. And I pray that you would just continue, God, to knit us together as a church family, in our life groups, in our relationships, Lord. I pray that there would be more and more and more and more of people being strengthened in Christ through their relationships, being built up with each other, God, in this place. Lord, we love you and we bless you. And we just give you all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Have a good week, everybody. Travel safe out there.